I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons for all time. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your holy one see corruption. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Selah. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back this stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know what you seek. Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And he said, and many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the field. And those who went before and those who had followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Beloved is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonder and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about this, the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us. Before being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Then Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Tony and Ryan. So I just wanted to give a little bit of a ministry update. We had our open house yesterday. I'm sorry I'm here today and not the day before the open house to tell you. I know a lot of people have told me, oh, I didn't know about it. But yeah, we had some people over to the center and to Love Reigns, and just to see the work that's going on at Teen Challenge. I know that people were really blessed. I just wanted to let you know briefly about a new work that's happening. We've opened a community care office in Williams Lake. I don't know if anybody's been to Williams Lake, but there was several people who had called me and said, there's a big problem in Williams Lake, and they needed some help. And so we have, as of June 1st, we officially opened the office. And what we're offering there is basically day programming, counseling, coaching, addiction recovery help. And so it's not a center, it's not a live-in one-year program. But the hope is that if we can reach out in the community of Williams Lake, that will then translate for people into the one-year program. So I've been actually meeting with a gal. Now, she's still in active addiction, and so she comes and goes. It's not always every time she says she's going to come, does she come. But she, this last time we met, she just said to me, she's like, you know what, I think I might need more help than this, and I might need to go into the one-year program. And so, you know, we just are trying to just step forward in faith that that people are out there that want help, and we just need to go out and find them. And so we decided that this year we were going to get outside the walls of our center, and we were going to go find those people. And so that's what we're doing, starting in Williams Lake. We also have a community care office in Cranbrook as well, that the church, Dwelling Place Church in Cranbrook, is taking care of there. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing. So in order to support that work in Williams Lake, we are turning half of the office into a boutique kind of thrift store. And so we're going to be running a ladies' boutique, as well as kids' clothes and some accessories from age 0 to 5. And so I will be looking for donations of women's fashions and accessories, gently used, good quality. This will be more of a boutique than a full-on thrift store, because it's very small. It's only about 500 square feet. So yeah, if anybody has anything, fashions or accessories, purses, shoes, that kind of thing that they want to donate to Teen Challenge, let me know after. I'll be here and you can come and talk to me. So, yeah, and if you have any other questions about what's going on, the women in Abbotsford just moved to Surrey. We purchased a new property there. And so, yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. I don't want to go on and on here about it, but if anybody's interested more, if you have anybody that you know is in addiction and you need help with that, or you need some advice, I have people emailing me all the time. I had a lady email me the other day, and she just said, everybody tells us not to help our son in addiction who's on the streets of Vancouver. and that he needs to figure it out on his own. And she said, I just really want to help him to get into Teen Challenge. And I said, you know what? That's good. That's the help you should offer. And so, you know, we're always offering advice to parents and loved ones of people in addiction. And we offer a class, actually, Concerned Persons, which is for people who have a loved one in addiction and they just don't know what to do. And so we offer that as well, in person and online. So, yeah, talk to me about all those things if you're interested in any of those things. And so right now we're actually going to have Nigel share his testimony. He has he just wants to let us know what God's been doing in his life and just bring glory to the Lord. So we'll let him speak.
Thank you for having me. My name is Nigel Drapeau. I'm 36 years old. I was born and raised in Fort St. John, British Columbia. I grew up in a home. I didn't know the Lord. I had attended church a couple times with the neighbor kids. And as I grew up, they explained once time, I remember being 7 years old and them explaining the gospel, and I just have to accept Jesus in my heart and that's everything's good. I was like, oh, that's it? So, of course, being 7 years old, I accepted the gospel right then and there and continued to live my life without God. At a young age, I began to become a victim of bullying, and it had some lasting effects on my life. And I eventually got to a point that I found that if I met the bullying with aggression, I got left alone. So that led me down a path of feeling separate, and the only way I know how to cope and deal with my problems was through anger and aggression. So I started to lash out at a lot of people around me, and I didn't have a lot of inner peace. I had this void inside me that was just so angry, so broken, so hurt. And I tried to stuff everything in it I could possible. All sorts of different addictions I stuffed in it. And it never came to anything. I managed to hold the job down for till my late 20s. Fairly successful career. Did well in the oil patch. But the whole time I was continuing to use drugs and live a completely immoral life, devoid of God. I cursed him and I hated him, and I thought that he was the reason for a lot of my problems. I blamed him for a lot of things. And I finally got to a point where I was unable to work and I ended up homeless. I was homeless and on the streets, and I bounced around the streets for a little while, in and out of jail, and the Lord had other plans for me. I ended up going to treatment, and I did a one-year secular program where I came to faith. I started going to church, and the Lord grabbed a hold of me and came around me and completely transformed my heart. I sought him in Bible college. I did 2 years of Bible college, and all I filled was my head. I never got taken through a discipleship where I learned to walk my faith out. I filled my head full of knowledge, but there was no action, no heart behind it. He led me into full-time ministry, where I worked with kids as a youth worker. I worked at a recovery house, and I returned because I was still living with sin in my life. I had never cleaned my house, and God has given me an opportunity here at Teen Challenge to cleanse my temple and to go back even stronger in Him and become a full disciple of Christ and actually walk out my faith, not just believe it in my head, because it has to come from my heart, and I know that today. And I know that that has to be a daily choice, and I have to continue to turn my life and my will over to Him. Because if I don't, I go right back to where I was. That despair, the enemy is sitting there waiting for me to turn back into that, to have a little bit of despair, a little bit of no hope, little glimpses of that anger and that aggression of my old life bleed into my life, and then that's where he preys upon. But if I continue to strengthen myself and become obedient to the Holy Spirit and where He's leading my life, I grow stronger, and I'm just so grateful. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That scripture gives me hope each and every day. So thank you for letting me share.
Good morning. I'll open up in prayer. Father God, I am asking, Lord, that you can use me one more time to share your word, Lord. Use me to be a witness of who your son is. It says in your word that your will is that we would see your son and believe. So help us to see him, reveal to us more of who he is. And I'm also asking, Lord, that you can help me to share life, not knowledge. We have enough knowledge, Lord. We need life. We need life every day. We need your gospel. We need your word. It sustains us. It not only gives us life, it also sustains us. Tell me a bit with my nerves, Lord, knowing that it's not about me, it's about you. So just let your Holy Spirit lead me and your words come from you and not my own opinions or my own thoughts or yeah, we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll be going through a lot of scriptures. They're from a few different versions, not the Message or the Passion, so don't worry. Okay, oh, the way to meet God. So I'm grateful that I can be here with you all to share the gospel of the Bible, that Jesus is the Messiah. In Acts 5:42, it says, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That Christ, the Messiah promised, Jesus, the Savior manifested, came into the world to save sinners. All sinners who are willing to be saved in the way of repentance toward God and faith in him and his gospel. We need the gospel. Nothing is more beautiful than the gospel. The good news that God saves sinners through Jesus Christ. And nothing is more damning than a false gospel. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, and if our gospel, 4:3 and 4, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The gospel can only come by revelation from God. Only he can lift the veil. Satan wants to blind us from the light of the gospel so that we cannot have salvation and a true faith. So today we know that the gospel, Satan still tries to corrupt the gospel. It has become corrupted 50 years after the resurrection, and it still applies today, the same 2,000 years later. And I don't want to be critical going into... but we know there's things like the prosperity gospel and things like that. Jesus is like a tiny, minuscule Jesus who came to do small things is preached. And I'm not saying that about here, but just we just know that that's the case. You can hear it all over. So if we do not believe the correct gospel, we will remain in our fundamental problem of being separate from God. We will remain with no life. John 20:31 says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This verse tells us how to receive life by believing that Jesus is the Messiah. It also says I need to continue to believe to have eternal life. It's also saying that this book was written. These were written, these 66 books of the Bible were written that I may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one of God, the anointed one of God, that we need to believe in him. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? Do we know correctly? So this morning we'll be looking at the way to meet God, and like I said, we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus answered him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through Jesus, the Christ, is the only way to receive life. A fish cannot live if it leaves water. Immediately problems come to it, and it will die after going through suffering. Trees need to put roots in the ground to live. If a tree is pulled out of the ground, suffering will come to it and it will die. Why is that? Because God made them that way. It's the principle of creation. So what about man? Man can only be happy and truly have life when he is together with God. That is how God made man. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in his image. He was created a spiritual being. He was special. And he was created different than the animals. Psalm 8:4 and 5 said, what is mankind? That you are mindful of them. Human beings, that you care for them. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. Man is special to God. And it says he thinks about them continually. He created man with glory and majesty to rule with authority over everything. God made man from the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It says in the same verse, God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living creature. This is telling us that man, who is a spiritual being, became a living being when God was with him. Originally, when God was with man, he was able to enjoy absolute happiness. He had fellowship with God, and it says he walked with him. When man was with God, there weren't any problems. And we can see that in Genesis, that man was blessed and was given everything he needed. But the greatest blessing was to be together with God. Then how come today so many people are suffering from unhappiness and problems? It's because man left God. Man has to be with God, but man left him. Why did man leave God? Genesis 3, in the garden there was the serpent. He deceived Eve, which led to man being separate from God. God, who is the Word, gave his word, and he wanted obedience. He gave the covenant, and the serpent attacked it, which separated man from God. Genesis 2:17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. So we've seen that to be together with God is to have life, and to be separate is dead. This means now and for eternity both. So being deceived by the serpent, they ate from the tree that God had forbidden, and God is holy and he cannot be with a sinner. So God's Holy Spirit left sinful man. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. As a result of the sin of unbelief, man is separate from God, and all problems come to mankind. A great suffering began with the family problem. Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very painful, very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to your children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So we see that there will be conflict and pain as there was none before. The curse came, and as a result, man must toil and work. He must sweat all his life to make a living. Another thing is that man spends his whole life trying to fix and solve his own problems. Genesis 3:17. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. So as a result of man being separate from God, a curse was applied. The environment was cursed. Physical suffering and disease came. Mankind will become a slave. Genesis 3:19 tells us that after countless sufferings, man will die in the end. By the sweat of your brow, You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Man will suffer in the world and for all eternity apart from God. And all of this happened because man left God. Do we know and realize how serious it is to be separate from God? Our problems, my problems, they're not financial. They're not economic. They're not marriage. They're not drugs. They're not alcohol. They're not being homeless. They're not, my parents won't talk to me. They're not, somebody did this in Teen Challenge and I don't like it. The problem is separation from God because of sin and Satan. These have consequences now and possibly for eternity. So this is why we need to believe in the correct gospel and repent of our sin of unbelief, because that's where all ethical and moral sins come from, is the one sin of unbelief. This is why we need someone to save us from these things. We cannot fix them ourselves. Therefore, we need the Messiah, the true King who defeated Satan, the true High Priest who shed his perfect blood to atone for sins, and the true prophet to reconcile me to God. Without meeting God, these problems of life will never be solved. The spiritual problem of Satan, sin, and separation from God will never be solved. So how can we meet God? We cannot meet God by human efforts, not by good works, not by religion, not by traditions, not by philosophy or psychology, and not by science, and especially not by abstaining from certain things. The power of mankind cannot solve the problem of sin and Satan. It cannot take away the emptiness or darkness. We try our whole lives to solve all our problems, every way we can think of, and are left just as empty as when we started. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. All men, mankind, are sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible tells us that this kind of life is idolatry. In the place of God, man is filling it with other necessary things for survival. He's living his life chasing materials, wealth, prosperity, success of this world that has nothing to do with the Word of God. Without knowing God's covenant, he's following the cravings of his flesh and thoughts. Since all people live their lives this way, apart from God, most of us are deceived, thinking that this is the way we should live our lives. In order to fill that greed, people make religions and idols and try to receive help from false gods. People can come even to church or ministry, falling into idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. The problem is one, separation from God. And the solution is one. God promised the Christ to solve this problem. Jesus is that Christ. Jesus completed the three offices of the Christ perfectly. John 19:30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Through the resurrection, he is the true King who destroyed the devil who is holding on to the authority of death. On the cross, he is the true priest who solved the problem of sin perfectly. With the righteous blood, Jesus resolved the sin problem once and for all, eternally and perfectly. Jesus tore his flesh to open the way to meet God. The way that Jesus opened the cross is the eternal, new and living way. Jesus is the Messiah who saved and resolved the fundamental problem of mankind perfectly. And if we go back to John 19:30, he said, "It is finished." Everything that we needed him to do to solve our spiritual problem of being separate from God, he did it on the cross through the resurrection. His whole life testifies to who he is and why he came. And the Bible tells us why we need him, what our problem is, what the sickness is, why we needed to be saved from the curse. And the one who believes that Jesus is the Christ will receive salvation. And the faith of Jesus as the Christ is the way of salvation. Like I said, we can see that Jesus through his whole life testifies that he is the Messiah. Through the cross and the resurrection has solved mankind's fundamental spiritual problem. And if you believe the gospel, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, you will become a child of God. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In John 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. So if I can read 1 John 5:1 to see how I am born of God and become his child. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the true prophet who reconciled me to God, the true king who defeated Satan, and the true high priest who shedding his perfect blood has resolved my sin problem, is born of God. So true salvation happens when the ministry of regeneration, of being born again, works in your soul and spirit. Regeneration is transformation of an entire person, where all your spiritual tendencies completely change, and it is done without the help of man, solely by God. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Regeneration is coming out of spiritual death to a new spiritual life as a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things pass away, and behold, new things have come. Only those who are born again with the Holy Spirit can repent and have the faith. Repentance is realizing that you used to be a sinner who is the enemy of God. And it means hating and having sorrow about your sin. Then you turn back to God from sin. The born again life will begin at the same time you have faith of Jesus Christ to resolve the sin problem. Faith and repentance happen at the same time, just like two sides of a coin. And without repentance, it is a false faith. Without faith, it's just feeling guilty. Acceptance means born again by the Holy Spirit. You repent, turning against all the sin, and go to God. True acceptance is confessing Jesus is the Messiah who died and lived for you. So the last scripture will be Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come. So part of having the correct faith is while we are alive, we expect the Lord to return in our lifetime. If we go back to the first scripture that I read, day after day, every day, all day, they preach the gospel with the faith that they could see the Lord return in their days. So we need to live our life preparing by being obedient and sharing the gospel together, waiting and hoping for the Lord to return in our days. Thank you. I'll just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your gospel, Lord. For your word. I just ask, Lord, that even if one person could, you could reveal to them who you are, that would be so amazing, Lord. We just thank you for your word that points to your son. He's the substance of the whole Bible. Everything points to him. It has to be about him, Lord. And we believe this, and we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus, who is the Messiah. Amen.